Blog Talk Radio.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
amen, amen, praise the Lord. I never would have made it, hallelujah, without Jesus, amen. How many of you out there can testify that you never would have, never would have made it without the Lord on your side? I'm excited today, amen. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm rejoicing. I am rejoicing and being glad in it. God is good. He is so good, and he is just so worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. I have a very special guest that I am highlighting on today, and it is just an honor and a privilege to be able to highlight her here on Woman to Woman. If you've been a regular listener, you know that I have established about 3 weeks ago that every weekend, if I could get somebody, I would highlight different women. It is my time to give back. God has really, really blessed me to be honored by different women. I tell you, across the United States of America, I have been given awards and certification, certificates and words of encouragement, words of acknowledgement. People have been lifting me up, and the Bible tells us to let others praise you. So I just want to give back. I really want to give back and begin to praise and highlight some of the women who are out there being trailblazers for the Lord. And today, I have a very special guest. Gazelle Simmons is with me on today. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome. Welcome to Woman, everybody that's listening. Go and tell somebody to tune in, because we have a very special guest today. Gazelle Simmons is the author of That Which Does Not Kill You Makes That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. So it is just a privilege and an honor to have this author with us. Not only has she written that book, but she has written other books as well, and she has an awesome testimony. She is doing great things for the Lord. She is involved with some great organizations that are empowering women all over the United States of America. This is not local. See, with the internet, we are able to expand our reach. And Gazelle is just really, really somebody that I admire. She's been through a lot, and she's going to come and share her testimony with us on today. So I want to give you time to get ready. I want to welcome those who are already gathering. There are some who are already calling in. There are some who are already in the chat room. I want to welcome all of you, because, look, today we're going to be talking about the topic of Gazelle's book, That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. Listen, you heard the song. It was number one last year, I believe, for a couple of years, Marvin Sapp, I Never Would Have Made It. How many of you have been through a storm that you don't know how? You still look back today and you scratch your head and you say, how did God bring me through that? It's supernatural. It is supernatural. There's some things that you're going through right now. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to just look back over your life. Look at God's track record. Look at what God has already brought you through, and go ahead and praise God, because he's going to bring you out of this also. Amen. God is going to bring you out of whatever it is you're going through right now. God will bring you out, just like he brought you out of that other circumstance, that other problem, that other challenge. Amen. Just like he brought you out before, he will bring you out again. Amen. So I just want to encourage somebody in the Lord on today. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged in the Lord. I want to welcome JoJo, amen, and also prophetic the prophetess C, amen, who's in the chat room. We have guest 1344 in the chat room. We have several people already on the phone lines. Get ready to call in, because I will be taking your call. Gazelle will be speaking with you all, amen. I'm going to put her on so that she can begin to just minister. I don't want to put her on too soon, because I know that people are still coming, but she's coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready, because the woman of God is going to come, and her testimony, listen, she has an awesome testimony of challenges. She survived Hurricane Katrina. Oh, yes, she survived Hurricane Katrina, and not only did she survive that hurricane, but she survived some other hurricanes in her life that came to try to take her out, to take her under, but guess what? She is still standing, amen, and the Lord blessed her to be able to write this powerful book, amen. So I'm just excited. I am excited, amen. So I'm going to open in prayer. Right after I open in prayer, Gazelle is already here. I'm going to put Gazelle on and just give her the floor so that she can begin to share with you. Amen. We will be giving you her website. We'll be talking about the book. We'll be talking about challenges that you may be going through. Gazelle is going to give her testimony, and then we're going to open up the board, because a lot of you today need to be encouraged. Look, the world is in a recession. We're going through some hard times. People are losing their jobs. They're losing their houses. You know what? But God's grace is sufficient. Amen. Because God, I'm telling you, God still is God. He is still God. What it is does not change who he is. God is still God. He's still sovereign. He's still powerful. He's still magnificent. He's still awesome, and he is still able, amen, to bring us through each and every one of these difficult circumstances that we might find ourselves in the midst. So I'm ready. I am ready. Get ready. Get ready. Call somebody. Tell somebody to tune in. They can tune in by phone, 646-652-4832, or they can tune in via the internet at blogtalkradio.com/power. Listen, if you can't stay the whole 2 hours, because I did post this for 2 hours, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here right now. I encourage you, if you can, if you have to leave and come back, that's fine. But if you have to miss anything, go back and listen to the archives at blogtalkradio.com/power. This is not about how many people we can get to congregate here. This is about how many captives we can set free on today, amen, because God is ready to take you to another realm in him. God is ready to take you to another dimension. There's a breakthrough that you are positioned for, amen. You've been struggling. Some of you have been struggling with some stuff, and God is getting ready to pivot you beyond your circumstances, amen, and he's going to get the glory in your life, amen, in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you, and we magnify your name on today. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together here at Woman to Woman, oh God. We thank you for what you're doing, Father God. We thank you for what you have already done. Oh, Lord, we praise you today. We praise you. If we had 10,000 tongues, we could not praise you enough, oh God. So we praise you, God, for waking us up this morning. We thank you, Lord, for our right mind. We thank you that we are clothed, God, that we're not, Father God, outside homeless, oh God, that we have a roof over our heads, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, that we still have sanity, God. Although many things are coming to try to take our sanity, God, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a sound mind, oh Lord. We thank you for health in our bodies, and we thank you families, oh God. Hallelujah. And we praise you on today, God, and we worship you on today, God, and you are worthy, God, all by yourself. So we give you the glory. We ask that you bless this time that we are together. Give some encouragement to those who are discouraged on today. Open the eyes of the blind, heal the sick, save souls, set the captives free. Use Gazelle Simmons for your glory. Use me for your glory. Use every caller for your glory, oh God. Use the chat room for your glory. Use the archives for your glory. Have your way. Have your way, oh God. Let your will be done. Lord, we give this time to you. Let your will be done. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, that we pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you all for being here on today. Amen. I want to invite you to join Christian Women of Power on Facebook. Amen. If you're on Facebook, just to do a search for Christian Women of Power. That's a powerful women, group of women. Most of us are here today that we come together to share, to sharpen each other, to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, to pray for each other, to support each other. So I invite you to join that group. Amen. And one more thing before I put Gazelle on, I invite you, my husband and I pastor a wonderful church in Elizabeth, New Jersey, New Creation Christian Ministries, the Kingdom Church, and we invite you to come out and worship with us at any given time on Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. prompt. Tuesday, we have prayer, 1 hour of prayer, 7 o'clock 7:30 p.m. and on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., 1 hour of power in the Word for our Bible study. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Well, let us go. Let us go and hear what the woman of God is going to impart to us today. Welcome, Gazelle Simmons. Amen. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Good afternoon, Pastor Rebecca. How you doing?
I am blessed, highly favored, and on fire for the Lord. How are you today?
Doing likewise.
Amen.
I'm anywhere where I can talk about Jesus.
Amen. Isn't he good?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Amen. Well, Gazelle, I did an introduction. I don't have your bio in front of me. I was so busy trying to get ready for the broadcast. I did read your bio, and I know that God is doing a lot of great things. I know that you are working with Christian business owners as the – are you working as the COO?
I am indeed. I a couple months ago – no, further back than that, about 6 months ago – I got a message from another virtual assistant. Stacey Virgo was like, you know, the Lord put you on my heart. I need to get a hold of you. There's some things we need to talk about. I was like, okay, talk on. Let me know what you need. And we got together and we got to talking, and she wanted to put together a networking organization primarily for Christian women to help Christian women. And she said to me, she said, we want to keep daddy's money amongst daddy's children. I thought that was a remarkable idea. I said, okay, I'll help you out, not a problem. Not expecting, you know, anything big, just, you know, whatever needs to be done in the background, which is what I'm good at, because that's what I do for a living. So I was like, no problem, I'll get in, I'll help out, you know, it can be done. Well, next thing I know, we go to a couple of meetings. Well, the very first meeting we get together, she introduces me to the other person who's going to be on the board. I'm like, okay. And she says, well, we got to have some titles. I'm thinking to myself, okay, titles? Well, what do we need titles for? We need titles. She says, Gazelle, I'm going to make you the COO. I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, what have I gotten myself into? And it turned out that, you know, Stacey said everyone needed a title. We needed you to have a title for the station you're going to end up in life. I was like, okay, I can work with that. So she started laying out what we were looking for to do as far as core values, how we were looking to get with Christian business women who have Jesus in their business, in their lives, involved in every aspect from not just, you know, how they do business, but, you know, how they network and who they deal with. And we wanted to make it go forward and move forward. And said a little prayer, opened up a cute little website, had our grand opening. pull together members, you know, and we're right now at 115 members.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's just since March when we start telling everyone about it. So, you know, you expect a little slow pickup and a slow progression, but it went out and people said, yes, this is perfect. I love this, you know, somewhere where I can talk about God. People don't look at me like I'm crazy. And I thought to myself, you know what, that is the problem when, you know, you go to other places. So, you know, I mean, and the first project we worked on was the vision for the organization.
Yes.
And the vision is to unite Christian business women together so they can use their blessings to bless each other first, to keep God's money moving between his children as much as possible, to come together in the common goal of growing each other's businesses, to prosper and grow as our spirits prosper and grow, to maintain our walk with Christ, our families, and our businesses until the Lord returns to take us home. Hope that's coming soon. To grow into a national group capable of interacting as the Lord would have us do. And my first thought was, perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
I'm in it to win it, hands-on, got to make it happen.
Amen.
Signed on, worked like mad people, craziness, you know, brought in other people to volunteer, and it has grown. And what we thought was going to take a year to happen, there are already members in international countries at this point.
My God.
I mean, it just blossomed overnight. And the ministry has taken off in so many different directions, and we've had people come in and provide everything that could possibly be needed just in the nick of time. So I thought, looking for somewhere to network, I recommend Christian Women United in Business. And if you think to yourself, what's the website? www.cwuib.com. Can't miss it. If you look
Amen.
Up United, it's going to pop up. We're here. We're available. We're looking to network. We're looking to grow. I mean, there's a newsletter coming out on a regular basis. We've had events held in our chat rooms. We've had people come in for meetings, speakers, you name it. Got a forum, got a prayer request list, anything you could possibly need in order to edify not just your mind, but your spirit, as well as learn something and interact with other people who share a same Father in common.
Yes, amen, hallelujah. You know, that is powerful, and it's amazing how the Lord has brought you to this point. You know, you are the author of That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Better. Did I get the title right?
That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger.
Makes us stronger. That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger is the name of the novel that Gazelle has written. Now, Gazelle, this novel, is it more of a true story than fictional, or is it fiction at all?
I like to tell everyone it's as true as possible, and the names have been changed to protect the guilty as well as the innocent.
Amen, amen. I know about that. Let me just give you the floor. I want you to just really, I don't want this to be an interview. I really feel that there is someone out there. I know that there are some women out there that are going to benefit from what you're going to share. So I just want to just shift. I'm going to move out of the way. And I just want you to share about your testimony, about the book, about the Lord, about whatever it is. Tell me when you're ready for me to come back in. But I really just want you to take some time and begin to minister, begin to share what it is that the Lord has done pertaining to that which does not kill us, makes us stronger. And then later on, we're going to come back and talk about your business, because you are a business owner, and we're also going to talk about some other things that the Lord is doing with you. So the floor is yours.
Well, thank you kindly. I like to tell everyone every new year that I come in, and I have to say I'm better this year than I was last year. I had someone wish me a new, wiser year. For every year I get older, and I've embraced that as a way to move forward. I really do want to be wiser next year than I was this year, and definitely than I was last year. In my walk, which I'm constantly in awe of, I came to Christianity as a very young child. I was about 9 years old when I went down the front, accepted Jesus, got baptized in the church. And one of the things I remember about my baptism most was my grandmother, who walked up to me and she hugged me. And she said, "Now we'll spend eternity together, just you and me." Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself, she said, "I will never, ever, ever have to truly say goodbye to you."
Mm-hmm.
And it was so moving to see how excited she was that I had made this change in my life. Unfortunately, my parents did not share the same faith. And it didn't take long for two alcoholic, non-church-going, difficult, full of all that the devil could fill them with, to basically discourage and drum out and starve the seeds that were growing.
My
and
God.
5 years, my parents were divorced. I'd also been through child abuse. My mother was very abusive. She spent a lot of time as her childhood in the same place that I ended up.
Yes.
And she perpetuated a cycle that I never understood until I had children of my own. And in my life, I remember thinking as a child, you know, why doesn't this person love me? I mean, surely everyone's mother loves them. Why doesn't
this person
love me? And then realizing that you have to know love in order to give love. And she was still looking for what she could not give.
Yes.
And when you get that frame of reference and you understand as a child that, you know, this person's not going to love me, no matter what I do. And it sets the precedence where you're looking for people to love you as you are without making changes to you. And in my childhood, that only person was my grandmother.
My God.
My father was an alcoholic. He was also a womanizer. And he and my mother spent so much time fighting in my childhood that my biggest concern upon having a child was, would I hear her cry in the night because I slept so soundly after years of living with them? And I was in my 20s at that point.
Uh-huh.
So I said to myself, you know what, this is not going to be where I want to take my child to, so I want to make something different of my life. But that took a long time to get to as well because in between my parents' divorce and having my children, I was molested by a relative. A very close relative, and happened under the watchful eye of my parents and continued for years. And I tell people all the time, when a child says to you something's going on, believe them. I'd rather overreact than underreact. And in those moments and in that time where you have this secret, you can't tell anyone. There's something going on that no one must know. You automatically know from the very beginning that it's something you should keep to yourself. No one told me, don't tell anybody. I just knew I wasn't supposed to say anything about this.
Wow.
And
wow.
I carried this with me and in me for years. And one of the things that started with this book was the need to get it out. I needed to get it out of my mind. I need to get it out of my spirit. I needed to have it somewhere else besides every little thing bringing it to the forefront.
Yeah.
Right. And it took me 15 years to write this book. Everyone says to me, what took so long? I said, two bad husbands, two good kids, and a whole lot of therapy.
Yes.
You can talk on what was without it affecting what is. You've been blessed.
My God. Say that again.
When you can talk on what was without it affecting what is, you've been blessed.
Hallelujah.
You've got to be able
Hallelujah.
To move forward with the knowledge that what was is never going to be again. So I took my past. Everyone says to me, well, you've raised your children and, you know, you have a relationship with your kids and you interact with your children. How did you learn how to do that? I really look at them and say, well, I did everything the opposite of what I did as a child. I mean, the parents did things that obviously weren't right, so I did the opposite of what they did. We were told to sit down and be quiet. You can be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
I did the opposite. I talked to my children at all times, which drives everybody crazy. Again, well, you know, we're going to take this child, we're going to lock them in closets, we're going to beat them, you know, until they're bruised, we're going to yell at them for no apparent reason, we're going to hit them whenever we feel like it, and I'm going to go to the opposite because I don't want the cycle that was started in my parents and continued in me to go forward in my children.
Yes, yes. Mm.
And I've actually heard people say to me, well, you know, you're too involved in your children's lives. I was like, you can never be too involved in your children's life. That's like telling God he needs to step back from you.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Mm.
If he put you here and he created you to be involved, he wants a relationship with you. How do you establish a relationship with someone you don't talk to, with someone you don't interact with? With someone, you know, when you're having a bad day, you take it out on them. That's not a relationship.
No, my God.
Mm. In educating myself to not repeat the cycle, I had years where I know me. Yeah, I had a bad temper, just couldn't say anything, and I would tell my children, go to your room. People would say, why do you send the kids to the room? I said, because I have to spend some time fixing me before I can work on fixing them.
Yes.
It takes a responsibility. It takes an intelligence. It's a choice. And once I realized that life is truly about choices, you choose. Yes, I will do the right thing. No, I will not. It's a choice. Once you've made that choice and you step forward in that choice, then God says, okay, as the prodigal son making his way back to the Lord, God is running towards you because he knows all it takes is that one step, that first choice to move towards him. Okay? I frequently remember in the prodigal son hearing his first thought was, I don't have to live like this. I can live better because I know there's a place I can live better. I used to live there. And when it came time to make a choice, I said, you know what? I don't have to live like this. I was like, sat down one day and just went, Lord, I let it go. I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. It's more than beyond me. And my first question is always, well, how'd you get there? Well, the Lord had to take me through to get there. He sent me my first husband. My first husband had hand problems. He couldn't keep his hands to himself.
My God. My God. Now, what does that mean? Was he very affectionate or was he just abusive?
Very abusive. I mean, he spent a lot of time not just physically but verbally abusive.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, if I'm as bad as you say I am, why are you here?
Yeah.
And I woke up one morning, I'd gotten my duckies in a row, I put them in the car, drove them to the train station, and I said to him, I won't be home when you get home. He was like, yeah, you ain't going nowhere. Laughed and went on down into the metro. By lunchtime, I packed up me, the children, everything I owned, threw it in the back of a rental truck, and I was gone. He was like, that's how you ended your first, that's how I ended my first marriage. It was over, just like that. A challenge to continue on in between first husband and second husband. And there's a 3-year span between the two of them. And in that 3 years, I was like, Lord, I'm going to step back. I can't, you know, be involved right now. I need to fix what I'm working on. I need to move forward. Started my business up in between husbands. Everyone says this to me. You had to leave a man to start a business. I needed something to do with my spare time.
That's right. That's right. And wasn't Ruth out there working when her husband found her, her second husband, as a matter of fact?
Well, the second husband was more of, I'm tired of being alone. Let me see what I can find. Again, I tell people frequently my taste in men sucks. It's awful. And I got involved, jumped head over heels, dove in completely. And once I got out there, realized I was too far from the shore.
My,
and I was, but I was already out there. Continued to raise my children. And all of both myself and my children, we all have my ex-husband's last name. He insisted everyone in his house had to be Simmons. So I set about making that happen. But the children's father is a totally different person.
Okay.
And I'll call him Fletcher for the sake of, you know, having a good name to use. Fletcher was an interesting person, very interesting, instantly attracted, was warned to leave that alone, not to go there, ignored everyone. That was what I wanted, you know, I was going for it. And I did. And in the midst of our relationship, I remembered something I'd heard Rex Humbart say in a sermon when I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you may get what you want, but you may not want what you get.
My God. Jesus. Jesus.
It was enlightening to realize that I had gotten what I wanted, but I didn't want what I got.
Mm-hmm.
And into the relationship, I had Samantha. 17 months later, I had Tiffany. And while I was pregnant with Samantha, I discovered, much to my dismay, that there would be no wedding bells for Fletcher and I because he'd already made his wedding vows to someone else.
He was married, my God. And you didn't know he was married.
6 months pregnant, can't see my feet, and someone who knew us both but didn't know anything about our relationship invited him and his wife to come to his house. And I was flabbergasted. I muddled beyond words, stunned, and so heartbroken. So with Samantha, I spent most of my pregnancy crying. Everyone was like, oh, she looks so happy. I went home every evening for 6 months and cried myself to sleep. Samantha came out the happiest baby you ever want to see in your life.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Her nickname was that always happy. Had her, I'm not going to deal with him. He goes his way, I go mine. We're not going to have anything to do with us. That didn't last long. Needless to say, here comes Tiffany. And when Tiffany came about, I discovered just how judgmental people could be. Everyone sort of, ignored the fact that I didn't have a husband with Samantha.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to church, called myself going back to church, and I had a pastor's wife basically snub me in this church. And I walked out of the church and did not go back to church for 16 years.
My God.
All because if this was how I was going to be treated by people who represented God, I didn't need to be there.
Wow.
So in the interim, I have Tiffany. My father, who at that point had turned his life around, picked up his Bible, and all his years of whoredom and booze were forgiven, and he told me that my youngest child was a curse. Now, I've read enough of the Bible to know that God says children are a blessing.
A blessing, yes.
There are no children without God's say-so. But here I have a male figure in my life telling me that my child is a curse. Needless to say, that didn't bode well for our relationship and pretty much set the tone for it for the rest of his days. I had my children, stayed out on my own, had a job, and while I'm in the midst of dealing with this problem with the married man and dealing with the parents and dealing with the judgmental people in the church, I'm also going through problems on my job. And I ended up leaving the job, filing a discrimination suit, and winning.
Mm.
They were making my life into a living hell.
Wow.
In the midst of all the chaos, I read something that has stuck with me forever. It was a quote. And the quote was, "That which does not kill us makes us stronger."
Go ahead. My God.
To myself, that's right. So if this doesn't kill me, it's supposed to make me a better person. And if they don't kill me, their relationship with me is supposed to make me a better person. And if these folks over here don't succeed in killing me, this is all supposed to make me better. And it changed the attitude with which I looked upon life. And pregnant with Tiffany, I ended up on bed rest. And my doctor said to me, "You need to eliminate the stress in your life." Okay. And I learned the power of the word no.
Mm-hmm.
I had people on my job say, "I need you to do no. I need you to go here. No. Baby, come on over here. No." And in that experience of learning to say no, not only did I learn to say no to the children's father, I also learned to say no to the parents. I also learned to say no to the friends who just wanted something. I learned to say no to the people on my job who were driving me bonkers. And it became a bubble. Me, Samantha, and Tiffany. And that was where I lived. In this bubble, we bounced from Virginia to Maryland. The baby daddy said, "Well, look, I ain't got no money to give you, but I can help you get started up here and help you get a job." Should have said no, but I said yes.
Still the baby fathers. Now, this is the married man.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm going to help you. He didn't have any money to give me, but he was going to help me. Again, got me away from family, away from friends, did in fact help me find a very good job where I could take care of myself and my children without anything from him. And then, of course, he decided, "While I got you up here, let's see what we can do with ourselves." Again, should have said no, but I said yes. And I got pregnant again. And this go round, I remember thinking to myself, "All right, I can't do this. I can't handle anymore. There are no more hands." Samantha was 3. Tiffany was 1.5 years. And I'm being told I'm supposed to have another child. I was like, "Lord, I can't do this. I know it's wrong, but I can't do this." I went out. I talked to a doctor, and I had an abortion.
My God.
And I remember thinking to myself as I laid on the table, it cost me $10 to visit a doctor. It cost me $10 to go to a hospital. And a child died.
My God.
And it was cheaper to not have this child than to go through. And after I had this abortion, the children's father abandoned me for a week with 2 small children, all by myself, up in Maryland, didn't know a soul. The nearest relative promised to come and help and never showed up. And I laid there thinking, how do I get myself out of this? And in popped to my mind, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. For 7 days, 5 of which I went to work, I got up and put one foot in front of the other by saying, "That, sit up," which, put your feet on the floor, does not, stand up, kill us, move forward. Make us walk 1.5 miles to the train. Stronger, step onto the train. That walk up that hill to that job? Which going on up them stairs and face those people does not get your work done, pull an 8-hour day, make us go on back and do the reverse and go home stronger, pick up those children, that carry them home, which does not walk in the door, kill us, make that dinner, make us put those kids to bed stronger, fall into the bed yourself. 5 days. That was how I moved. That was how I breathed. That was how I put one foot in front of the other. At the end of 5 days, up shows Mr. Wonderful as if he went to the corner store for a quart of milk. I went home and I told him the words that was the beginning of the end. I said, I'm going to leave you. It might not be this week. It might not be this month. It might not be this year. But I'm going to leave you. He didn't cotton too much to that. Samantha was 5 when he was gone. People said to me, oh, girl, you know, y'all are like, you know, yin and yang. You bounce off of each other. You work well together. You need him. No, actually, I didn't. What I needed to do was grow up.
Yeah.
And it took absolutely positively being abandoned by everyone to make me say, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. And I left. And after him came the first worthless husband. And 3 years after him came the second worthless husband. And through it all, I remember thinking to myself, why do things keep going bad? And I had to remember, I had to reap what I'd already sown. And it came in the form of my second husband, who basically treated me the way the children's father had treated his wife.
My God.
And I had to deal with it. And I really couldn't complain about it because I sowed it back over there, but I was reaping it over here. And Dr. Stanley likes to say, you reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. It came back in spades. And I have children, and I have this husband who's driving me crazy, and he has children, and I've got this business I'm trying to run, and everyone's pulling at me. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I can do this. I'm going to put on my Superwoman cape, and I can do this. I didn't eat, I didn't sleep, I wore myself ragged, I was sick for a week with the flu, every time you turned around there was something wrong with me, and through it all, it still didn't occur to me that the smartest thing to do would have been to say, I can't do this, all right, Lord, step in here and help me fix this. Not me. I kept plugging away at it. This is going to work. This marriage is going to work. I can do this. I can run this business. I can be a Navy wife. I can be a stepmother. I can be friend to everyone. I can do all this. And it didn't work. And the realization that it hadn't worked after 6 years of trying led me to sitting in a 3-bedroom apartment in Mississippi with my husband telling me to my face he was going to date.
Oh, my God.
And in the middle of it, I was just like, I don't know how I got here, but I can't do this anymore. So he was deployed, and I laid in my bed, and I was like, Lord, I am not getting out of this bed. I have had enough. And I remember something my grandmother told me when I was 7 years old. She said, baby, don't ever let no man make you take to your bed.
Go ahead. My God. Go ahead, Grandma. My God, Jesus.
I thought that was the most preposterous thing I've ever heard in my life. How does a man make you take to your bed? People can't make you go to bed. But what I didn't know was people can drive you to the point where you want to go to sleep and you don't want to wake up. It was in the midst of
depression.
That controversy. and all of that stress and all of that strain that Hurricane Katrina came into the Gulf. I had been depressed about 2 weeks. I couldn't have given a rat's knackers about what was going on with that little bit of water swirling around.
Mm.
Thought it was
complete. And where were you living?
We had an apartment in Harrison County, and we were a mile from the beach.
In what state?
In Gulfport, Mississippi.
My God.
Down there in the middle of nowhere, again, don't know anybody. In the move, I'd sold my car, so I didn't have a car. Again, I'd given all my clients away because I was going to be moving, and it was going to take me months to get situated again. So I didn't have any clients, so the business wasn't working. So no money, no job, no car, completely dependent upon this husband. And this is when he showed out. And Maya Angelou says, when someone shows you who they really are, believe them.
Yes.
In Mississippi, I believed who my husband was, and I also believed I couldn't change him, and I also believed I had no way out of where I was. And I said, Lord, all these doors are closing. I couldn't find a job. I said, all these doors are closing. Couldn't get any new clients. Lord, all these doors are closing. Couldn't move any forward. I said, Lord, if you open me a window, open me a window. I will crawl through it.
Mm.
I can be here. And he gets back. This is June. Hurricane Katrina came the end of August. I tell people frequently, be careful what you pray for.
Mm.
I asked for an open window, a way out.
Yes, you did.
What I didn't know was my youngest daughter prayed to leave Mississippi and never come back.
My God.
And my oldest daughter prayed not to have to go to school on her birthday, which was September 1st.
Mm.
Hurricane Katrina came through August 28th. In that hurricane, we lost everything we ever owned in this earth. Everything. We had 3 changes of clothes and a pair of sandals. Everything all gone. And when I look back on it, I have to tell everyone it was a blessing.
Mm, a blessing.
And people look at me like I'm crazy. How?
Wait a minute. Yes.
A blessing. It was an answer to all 3 of our prayers.
Mm.
It was an affirmation for me that God not only heard me, but made a way for me to not be there. Made a way for me to not go back. I couldn't go back. I asked for God not to be there when he got back. It never occurred to me to be a little specific in my prayer. I just didn't want to be there when he got back. Well, with the entire place gone, I couldn't go back. And thus, my prayer not to be there when he got back was answered.
Was answered. Yes. My God, hallelujah.
Stay out.
My God. The Lord works in mysterious ways. My
That's,
God.
I did not specify where that way was supposed to be. I did not specify how I wanted to get that way. I just wanted to get away. And 6 weeks after the hurricane, I discovered from the insurance adjuster that the apartment we were in was still intact. All the windows were still intact. But that there was 6 feet of water in the apartment.
My goodness.
The adjuster, 6 weeks after the storm, could not open the doors. And he said to me, it's a good thing you left. Now, my ex-husband had called me from Japan, which is where he was stationed at the time of the storm, and told me I was making a fool of myself running off and leaving. I needed to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And I frequently tell people, had I listened to man, I wouldn't be here.
You wouldn't be alive.
But I listened to God and got myself up out that bed and got in a vehicle and drove away, not knowing I was never going to come back.
Mm.
In that knowledge and in that revelation of being delivered, I sat in a chair and said, I surrender.
My God, Jesus.
I don't control anything. I'm not in charge of anything.
Mm.
I give you complete and utter control of my life. I'm not going to try to do this anymore. I'm a walk in you. The miracles that began were remarkable. We found an apartment in 2 days. The apartment deposit was exactly $1.51 short of what I had in my checking account. They let me move in with no job and no money and turn on the utilities, set up a place. Strangers that I did not know gave us beds to sleep on, furniture, left food on my door. I managed to go out and max my credit card out, overdraw my checking account. All charges were forgiven. I set about going from place to place. People gave us school supplies, and we had what we needed. Not necessarily what we wanted, but we had what we needed.
Yes.
For outdoors, not once, for a moment. And I firmly believe that God protected us and kept us.
Yes.
And in that knowledge, I discovered what Jehovah Jireh really meant as my provider, and things came about that I couldn't see coming. Got started, opened my business. Within days of opening my business, I had a new client, continued to get new clients, continued to make money. That December, just in time for the husband to come home and collect his vehicle, I received the insurance money and bought a vehicle of my own. Always provided. Completely unexpected.
My
always
God.
One after another. And I tell everyone, when you admit that you're not in charge and you admit that you're not in control and you acknowledge who is, it starts a change in your life.
Yes.
Change children notice was, Mama's a lot easier to get along with. Mama's a lot calmer. And it was the revelation after their entire life of never seeing their mother go to church to see me walk back in a church after 16 years. But nothing beat the picture on their faces when I woke them up one Sunday morning and said, get dressed, we're going to church. My daughter got up, walked
my
up,
God.
And put her hand on my forehead. She's sick. I was like, no, I'm not sick. You're going to church. Get up. Let's go to church. These children were in awe, but they went. And we stayed in this church for quite some time. And in getting into church and going back and renewing my commitment and my relationship and focusing on God, the first thing I discovered was this need to forgive people.
Yes.
So I wrote a letter to my biological mother, who is still alive, and I asked her to forgive me for judging her. Because when I had my children, as soon as I held my daughter in my arms, I realized that I would die for her. There was nothing I wouldn't do for her. There was nowhere I would not go and nothing I wouldn't overcome to protect her. And I didn't understand why she didn't have that for me. So I judged her. I decided that she was an unfit mother and unworthy of being a mother. But in reality, she was broken. And it took me being broken to realize what it looks like and what it feels like. And to understand that just because someone's broken doesn't mean they get thrown away. Wrote her a letter and asked her to forgive me for judging her. My next letter went out to one of my siblings. This young lady and I have always had a contentious relationship. And I asked her to forgive me for not being the kind of person that I should have been. I finally got back to the one person that was the source of most of my angst, and that was my ex-husband. And I started praying for him. Now, my first prayers were not nothing to be, you know, proud of. Lord, bless that fool. Keep him far away. Amen. Okay? Not anything great. But as I prayed for him and the more I prayed for him, the more I healed. The less went on bothered me, the more sure I was that, you know, yes, this is over, but God, there's always a but God.
Mm.
God is moving. God is moving. God is moving.
Yes. Yes.
It's not me. This is him. And in that notice and in that acknowledgement, and as I have over the years learned to see, yes, I got divorced. But that was because I married the wrong man. And I didn't leave him. He told me he no longer wanted to be my husband. And because of his adultery, I was free to let him go. And that's
yes.
But that doesn't change the fact that I still pray for him on a daily basis. But my prayers now run along the lines of, Lord, you promised me, everyone, all of my family, I have this person's name. There will come a time you will bring him back to you. I don't have to see it. I don't have to hear it. I don't have to know it. But I know you're going to work it out.
Mm.
In that prayer and in that acknowledgement, it's not me. I can't bring him back. I
yes.
can't make him whole. I can't fix what's broken in him. All I can do is pray to the one who can. In freedom.
Yes.
From the responsibility of fixing him allowed me to heal, allowed me to look back, and I finished my book in the midst of this process of letting go, of learning to acknowledge things go wrong, but God.
But God.
Where you want them, but God.
Don't
always turn out the way you planned, but God.
But God. Ha. Huh.
And Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has good plans and a hope for us. And in acknowledging that God has plans for me, the things that went wrong in my life were due to my plans. I want
to do it
my way. And allowing him to take control, to be in charge, I acknowledge that his ways are higher and better than my ways. And in that came a freedom, came a joy, came a peace that makes no sense whatsoever. And people say to me, how do you manage? I was like, I get the electric bill like everybody else does. I look at
yes.
it, fold it up. I say, all right, Lord, you see this. And I stick it on the shelf where it goes at. And I don't touch it again until the Lord has provided for it. My Bible says he's my provider. It also says the righteous have never been forsaken, nor their seed out begging bread. I'm food, I'm promised shelter, I'm promised the necessities of life. God takes care of the birds, air. Surely he can take care of me. The grass of the field has clothing to wear, okay? Surely he can take care of me. So things don't go the way I think they should. I go, all right, Lord, what am I missing? Where to from here? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I not learning that I need to learn in this time and place? So in dealing with people and in life, and I've run across some sinners who have been kind as all get out and some saved folks who have been plain up, straight up, sent from the devil. What I have learned is God is working on us all.
Yes, yes.
I can't judge people when I'm not perfect. So I sit where I am. Since my husband left in June of 2005, I've been alone. I tell everyone, I work, I move. I said, but this time I'm going to wait on God.
Yes.
For the husband he created for me, because he managed to get Adam the Eve he needed. I think he can send me, okay, the Boaz to this roof here. I'm looking for the person God's sending, not because I don't meet folks, but because God's plans are better than mine. He says, you'll wait. And in the waiting, there's been some fixing, there's been some mending, there's been some, you know, we're going to change your ways. I used to tell everyone I am the most the least submissive woman you will ever meet in your life. Because the idea of submitting to me meant my will is submitted to some other person's will, and they're not too sure. I don't know if I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And in my past, all the other men in my life have failed me in one way, shape, or form of another. I frequently tell people the only man who's never failed me is Jesus.
My God. Say that. My God, Jesus.
I was expecting them to be as perfect as I wasn't.
Mm.
So it took me years to acknowledge, no, the divorce was not all my ex-husband's fault.
Mm.
Yeah. He might have went in it with a bulldozer, but I broke my back going in it with a backhoe, okay?
Yes.
And between us, we destroyed it. And as we signed our divorce papers, my ex-husband said to me he was never going to get married again. And I turned and I looked at him, and I said, you know what? I forgive you for every lie, for every deception, for every moment of pain, every heartbreak.
Wow.
I forgive you.
Wow.
And I'm going to get married again. I said, because
Amen.
God would never be so cruel as to make you the last man I call husband.
Ah. Jesus.
As Jesus. I spoke these words, none of which were planned, I thought to myself, am I really going to get married again? I kept it to myself in the back of my mind. Okay, Lord, if that's going to happen, that's going to be from you. Again, went to church, continued to live life, continued to heal, continued to grow, met no one. And everyone says to me, why don't you date? I haven't met anyone that I wanted to spend more than 10 minutes sitting in a room talking to.
Wow.
That's why I don't date.
Wow.
One, it leads to a lot of controversy. Two, I have children, and they have to be my first priority. Three, when you say yes to someone you should say no to, you set yourself up to fail. And if nothing else I learned from the children's father, I learned saying yes when I should say no is always bad.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in every relationship has taught me something. My first husband taught me that no matter what a person says, listen to their actions. I love you, but I'm going to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go together. Again, spend some time alone. My second husband taught me that actions are the product of choices. And he chose. And he chose over and over and over again, but not me.
Mm.
And when I realized that I was never going to be able to make this person care about me the way I cared about them, it changed our relationship. And in realizing, after it was over, that I could not fix these things, it made me acknowledge the person who does the fixing is God.
Yes, yes, yes.
To him, okay, well, Lord, I acknowledge you have to fix him, but could you fix me too?
Mm.
There are things in that need fixing. Fix me too. And as I walk and as I go and as I meet people and when I talk to folks and wherever I go, I take Jesus with me. People say to me, well, how have you spent these many years alone? I was like, sweetheart, I'm never alone.
Mm.
God is with me tonight. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I call on Jesus. He's always here. When I'm going through, he's always here. And when I forget he's not here, he's still here. Always all about God. And when I remember that he's in charge, everything goes better.
My God. I say amen to that. My God.
And right now, as it stands, I'm scheduled to move next week. When I signed up to do this interview, we were originally going to do it last Saturday. I was like, okay, fine. It'll be time enough. We'll make it happen. Well, I said I was going to do this today. Well, 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning, we had a lightning strike, and my phone went out, and my internet
Jesus.
Went out. I was like, all right, Lord, you see this. Now, you know what I'm supposed to do on Saturday. I went round and round with the phone company and finally gave it up and said, all right, Lord, if this phone's not on by Saturday, you get to explain this to Rebecca because it's not me.
Mm.
Well, the guy came Thursday, spent 6 hours here, but he fixed the phone.
My God, 6 hours. Wow.
And
I tell you.
Of that conversation, I remember thinking to myself, all right, Lord, then I guess you want me to do this on Saturday.
Yes.
Despite the fact that, you know, we're up to our eyeballs and stuff, and we need boxes done, and there's still more moving to do, I was like, today I will stop and I will do nothing but this radio interview.
Yes.
Because I have got to learn to listen when the Lord speaks to me and says, stop, be still and know that I am God. That's hard, especially for me. I'm a doer. I see a problem, I find a solution, I fix that problem. I don't know where it came from, I don't know how it is, but it's always been that way. My children say, I say to mama, I need, and it gets taken care of.
My God. Mm.
Even the ex-husband recognized, if I have a problem, I tell Gazelle, she takes care of it. It's no longer my problem.
Well, I know about that because I definitely am there for my children, my husband, my family as well. And I tell you, that is a powerful, oh, my God, powerful testimony. I tell you, we do have a couple people on the switchboard, but I just want to make sure that that the Lord has said what he needs, what you need to see. If you have some more, just go forward, and then we'll take a couple calls when you're done.
Well, as we sit here next week, I'm moving. I'm moving to a house that I didn't know existed. I had already gone to Statesboro, where we're going. Thought I had lined up a place. That Tuesday we get back and they told us, no, they weren't going to hold the place.
My goodness.
Now, you know, we need to have an address. Can't move this stuff without an address. That Thursday, I got an email from the young lady that I'm renting her house now. And we went that Friday. We looked at all sorts of places. And we finally managed to get to her house. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to sleep on this and then the next morning. And the first thing my daughter says to me the next morning is, Mama, we got to go back to Vicky's. It's for us. Now, over the years, I've learned that God sends me wisdom through the mouth of babes because sometimes I don't quite trust the adults who speak to me. But the children have never led me astray.
Wow.
So I said, okay, we'll make this happen. Well, the devil has done everything in his power to make this move as inconvenient as possible. And as I sit this morning, I'm reminded that God is still God and things will fall into place.
Yeah.
I don't know how, I don't know when. All I know is when I step back and go, okay, God, I can't do this. You fix this because I can't. If this is where I'm supposed to go, show me. If this is what I'm supposed to do, show me. And they go forward. And I walk literally in his footsteps. Okay, Lord, you go before me, and let's make this happen. Because I can't do it on my own. And, yes, there are boxes to pack. Well, I got a call late last night. Didn't know who was going to help me load this furniture. I need a big sectional couch and a washer and dryer moved. In my own strength, it's not going to happen. Well, I got a phone call last night from one of the ladies at my church, and her husband and his friend will be here Wednesday morning to move these items for me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. To God be the glory, my God.
We're having trouble getting the water turned on at the location. I got a call Friday morning. Friday morning, mind you, when the phone just came back on. And the young lady says, no problem. Your water will be on. It's taken care of. and in awe as always, sit I going, all right, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. Sit back, relax, and wait for you. Okay? The doer in me will stand still. So today is my standstill day. I'm standing still, and I'm waiting on God. Thought I was crazy. You gonna take the day off? We have all this we need to get done. I said, sweetie, it will get taken care of. You have to have faith.
Mm.
And in saying those words to my child, I realized they apply to me as well.
Mm.
I have to understand that God works always right on time. Not when you want it.
My God.
I think he should, but right on time.
Mm.
So, tomorrow will be another hectic day of moving. Monday will be another hectic, chaotic day of moving. I will be moving all of next week. That's how long
wow.
it will take us to get this stuff down there.
Mm.
But God,
mm.
same God that's here,
my God,
is there. The same God that's always been and always will be my Alpha and my Omega
mm.
will take care of it. And as I leave behind one of my children.
My God
has decided that she's going to live with her boyfriend.
Mm.
And I know that I know that I know that God is working on me, because there's a time that would have sent me off the deep end. I would have spent my time contemplating how I was going to make sure this didn't happen.
And right.
That God, who sits high and looks low, watch over this child.
Mm.
She's a product of me and a gift from you. Watch over her.
Yes.
I can't be here. I can't do this. But you can, because you are the God of all answered prayers. And my prayer for her is you bring her back to you. Be merciful in breaking her spirit, but bring her back to you.
Yes, my God, be merciful, my God.
And there's a peace
mm.
I would have never expected in not knowing where my child is.
Mm.
There is a calm assurance that I know, that I know, that I know that God's watching over her. I don't have to be here. I don't have to see it. I don't even have to hear about it. But I know. And just as I had to go out and fall down and bump my head in order to bend my knees, she will.
Mm.
Well, in the end, God said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That didn't say except for Samantha.
Mm.
Her time will come. Going to have to yield to God in his due season. Not my season, not her season, but his. And there's a comfort that comes and go in knowing that his season will be beautiful.
Mm. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes.
I hear a song from Yolanda Adams that says, it's going to be nice.
Mm.
Whatever it is, it's going to be nice.
My God.
And mm. there's an assurance that you know, that you know, that you know that God is working everything, even the stuff you don't like, even the stuff you think is too much, even the stuff you feel you can't handle, he's working it all out
mm.
for your good.
Mm, mm, mm.
I never expected a hurricane to be for my good.
My God.
I never.
Yes.
Divorce to be for my good.
Mm.
I never expected for, you know, to end up back in church. I
mm.
never expected to be able to wake up every morning and go, thank you, Lord, for a
Jeez.
New day. In that knowledge and in that confession comes a serenity that God is able.
Mm. Wow.
Right before I came on the air, I was listening to Snooki Norville sing. God is able.
Mm.
And when I hear these songs and I think to myself, he is able. So when things don't go the way I want them to, I have to keep remembering, he is able. When I'm upset, the first thing that crops into my mind is Amazing Grace.
Mm.
And I will sing that song. And when I finish with
wow.
everything seems pale compared to the knowledge of what God has done for us, in
Jesus.
Us, and through us.
Mm. Mm.
So I know that I know that I know that it's going to work out. It may not seem like it's standing here, but it is going to work out.
My God.
The day came about thanks to God. Not me, but thanks to God. And
yes.
Here, he needed me here. He sent me here for a purpose. And as I frequently hear when I turn on my television and a preacher says something that steps right into my life, I don't know who it's for, but I know it's for someone.
Mm.
So today was for someone else. It wasn't for me. It was for whoever's going to listen to this or whoever's heard this and know God says and God does.
Mm. My God.
So my testimony ends with, this book was written out of pain, out of suffering, out of heartache and headache, but it was also written out of healing. It was written out of joy. It was written out of peace that comes when you think there is nothing else.
Mm.
The book ends with a question. And the last line of the book says, I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know what my future holds, but I know in whose hands I am.
My God, Jesus.
So I tell everyone, this book was written not to disparage, not to discourage, but to remind people that when you walk through the valley, there's a goal and there's a mountain coming.
Jesus, powerful, powerful. Praise the Lord. Oh, my God. Wow. Jesus.
I call us. Someone's on the phone who definitely needs to get through.
Well, someone's trying to call you?
No, someone's on your phone who's trying to get through.
Amen.
And we need to take our callers because there's someone I'm supposed to talk to on the phone.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God is speaking right now. The phone lines are open. Area code 646. Let me just get my number. I'm just in the spirit. I'm just caught up in the spirit right now. Pastor Rebecca Simmons here, and we just heard a powerful testimony from Sister Gazelle Simmons. She's the author of That Which Does Not Kill Us. Makes us stronger. Amen. That which does not kill us makes us stronger. And I tell you, she has really, if you missed anything, go back and listen to the archive because God has spoken through her. Amen. And the switchboard is open, 646-652-4832. If you have a question, a comment, if you need prayer, amen, if you need to be led to Jesus, or you just want to say amen and speak to Gazelle and myself. We're going to open up the phone lines now, amen, because it's just been powerful, amen. And I know that God is going to speak. We have a couple callers on the switchboard, area code 786. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
Mm.
Pastor Marion.
God bless you, Pastor Varians. I mean, to God be the glory.
Jesus, I'm telling you, that was the most powerful testimony that I can honestly say I ever heard in my life.
Mm.
And I've heard a lot of testimonies.
Mm.
But that was the most powerful one that I've ever heard. Ever, ever, ever in my life. And you spoke volumes to me in the things that I go through on a daily basis. And I said, you know what, Lord, you are speaking to me. And you just kept speaking and you kept talking and explaining. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, Jesus, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And I see the other side of the rainbow. So if nobody else thanks you today, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he had you come and give that testimony, which encouraged me, it inspired me, and it lifted my spirit. I'm going to be honest with you. That thing there really blessed me.
Well, I am glad to be a blessing. I know from experience that, you know, everything I've gone through has had a purpose. And getting here today was a purpose. There was a purpose in it. So I know there had to be at least one. And Pastor V, you have come here week after week on Pastor Rebecca's show, and I love hearing from you. You can speak a word that's on time to this sister time.
My God. Pastor Variance, you know, she spoke. I'm just going to speak, too. We do have another couple calls. If you want to speak, put your hand up. I do know that we have a couple that don't want to come on the air, so I'm not putting them on the air, but I know that they were blessed. We do have some more calls coming in right now, and I'm going to take you, area code 908. I see you. 646-652-4832 is the number. Call in and just speak to us. Giselle, you have encouraged me also. You know, you talked about your daughter and her making a decision that we know is against the will of God for her life, but you talked about having grace and still praying for your daughter, knowing that God is going to take care of her. We, too, we have a son who's deciding to go his own way right now. You know, he's deciding that he doesn't want to go to church. And that thing encouraged me, too, you know, to know that, you know what, we do the best that we can with our kids. We bring them up in the fear, admonition of the Lord. And then we just have to release them to God. Keep on loving them, but release them to God. So, I mean, that's one part. There are many more, but I'm going to be the hostess and continue to take these calls. But I just wanted to say that that's one part of your testimony, just one part, because there were more that really, really touched me. And it's amazing how, though, no matter where you are, you can be pastor, prophetess, preacher, evangelist, you know, whatever fivefold ministry gift that God has you in, teacher, you know, apostles, you could be any one of those, have a title, like we talked about earlier, but you always need this word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and we win over, we defeat Satan, because Satan is always prowling about in the lives of the people of God, but we defeat him by our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And the way you shared today, there was such an anointing on your life, and I just say thank you for sharing so openly your testimony on today.
Well, he gave me this story for a reason. And then he gave me the voice and the means of coming in and telling others that there is hope, and his name is Jesus.
My God. My God. Well, we're going to take another caller. Call in now. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca, and your awesome guest. Just amazing to hear how God is moving in the lives of his people, and we just thank God for the testimony. We thank God for you, Pastor Rebecca, bringing this testimony so that people can hear and know that you're right, our hope is in Jesus, and that's just all I wanted to say, and God bless you, and I'll just continue to listen. Just very, very powerful testimony, and we just so thank God for it.
That's Minister LaLisa Williams. I praise the Lord for you, Minister LaLisa, and I thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to let Giselle address what you just said, and then I'll speak after that.
Well, it is always a blessing to be able to testify and to tell other people there's a purpose. I remember coming in here and listening to a young lady last week who wrote her book, and she said, I tell people things and they judge me for it. And in that knowledge that, you know, yes, they're going to judge you for what you say, but what I have to remember is they judged Jesus and he did nothing wrong. So
yes.
Am I expecting better treatment? So when I talk to people, I tell them, I say, you know what, I have to be honest because my God is writing all the time. I can't lie. It doesn't do any good. He knows the truth even if nobody else does. And on Judgment Day, when I stand there, I want to be able to say, I literally took the shambles of my life, turned them over to you, and became a testimony of how you've changed me. Who I used to be, and I'm not who I'm going to be, but you've changed me. And when you acknowledge that the change doesn't start inside of you, the change starts from above. God comes in and dwells in this house of clay, and he is the potter. Every time I see the potter's house, I remember that's where I am. And sometimes I'm in the fire, and sometimes up on the shelf cooling off. But it's always a purpose. And in the end, I will be a very fine vessel.
My God. My God. Well, I believe that the Lord is using you mightily for his kingdom for such a time as this. And what we have to realize is that we're always going through something. All of the phone lines are open for you guys. If you want to make a comment, you could just come on. We still have 30 minutes. I want to leave. I'm not going to mute the phone line today. What I normally do when I highlight is I'm going by the Spirit. See, and today I knew that Gazelle had a powerful testimony and that she had some stuff in her belly, some words in her belly that needed to get out. So I just let you talk, Gazelle, because I knew that God wanted to minister to through you. And there are people now who are listening that have received ministry. They may not call in, but I believe and I know that God's Holy Spirit is doing the work that needs to be done because you took us on your journey, you know, from being abused as a child, being molested as a child, getting into a relationship with a married man, not really knowing that he was married, having him show up with his wife at a social function one day, to getting married to your first husband and finding out that he was abusive, he's beating on you and carrying on, then getting married to your second husband, finding out that he is a womanizer, he's an adulterer, you know, and just continuing to move forward, starting a business in the midst of that, which you are a business owner today, a virtual assistant, you know, starting a business in the middle of that, having your babies, having an abortion, my God, you know, like $10 to go to a doctor's office, $10 to have an abortion, my God, and you talked about a child being dead as a result of that. You broke it down, you know, talking about your relationship with your mother and your father judging you, people in the church judging you, having to turn away from the church for 16 years, being out there by yourself, but being able to hold on to a quote that you heard, that which does not kill us, that which does not kill you makes you stronger, my God, and having those words to continue to God used those words to continue to allow you to keep going. When a lot of people were in the middle of depression, you were able to keep going. In the middle of a hurricane, Hurricane Katrina, you were able to keep going. Having lost everything, you were able to keep going. In the middle of all of that you went through, you were able to keep going. And then to be able to say, just after the storm, after the hurricane, you know, to say, I surrender, my God. I mean, the power in that I surrender. There are so many of us in church today, and we still have not surrendered. There are so many who are listening today, who are listening to the archives, and you still have not surrendered. And this is the time. Today is now. Now, you're at the end of your rope. Look, you can't go no further. Without Jesus, you must surrender, not just to say, I'm saved, I'm going to church, but to say, I surrender. I can't do this anymore in my own strength. I surrender. I give it all. I give it all to Jesus. And, you know, we just have to get to that point. I've gotten to that point. Minister Lalisa has gotten to that point. Pastor Varians has gotten to that point. Gazelle, my mother who's listening, God bless you, Mom. We are women, everybody in the chat room, you know, we have gotten to that point, you know, but we keep getting there. And I know, Gazelle, you could testify to the fact that we haven't arrived.
No. I'm closer to the goal, but as Apostle Paul say, I'm still running that race. I don't by any means, Lord, that I'm perfect, Lord, that I'm delivered and I'm there and everything is. No, there are days I wake up and the devil wakes up and says, all right, let me see what I can hit her with today.
Amen.
Okay? It spends a lot of time, and I think later on as I look back on things, Lord, that devil was so busy, he need to go somewhere. Okay? I've had days when I was so upset, I've walked around with my Bible, casting the devil out of my house, anointing my windows and my doors. You can't live here. This is not your home. Get out. Because you know there are days you think to yourself, the devil is in here, okay? I've seen my daughter come through the door, be like, the devil came in with her. You know what? I'm going to anoint her doorknobs. I'm going to anoint her bed. I'm going to anoint everything she touches in this house. I'm going to anoint the refrigerator door. When she go in and get something to eat, she's going to get anointed. Because I'm not going to do this anymore. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I know. It's working out. And when you understand that, you know, God has set it there for a purpose. I mean, just dealing with my daughter has taught me I'm not who I used to be. Because there's a time the devil would have reigned mightily up in here. We'd had the police up in here and everything. Because that's the way I rolled. Okay? My daughter used to tell her teacher, she's 5 years old. She went to school. She told her teacher, she says, my mama's crazy. Don't mess with her. And the teacher said, did you tell? I said, no, I never told the child I was crazy. She just judged by my actions. And that's how I lived. I lived crazy. Now I have to do the same thing, but I have to be crazy for Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, hard as I was when I was out there, I got to be that harder and more when I'm in here. Because if I can't be for Jesus what I was for the devil, I'm in trouble.
Come on now.
Good job.
Okay, you know, someone asked me recently, what's your favorite song? And I have to tell them, you know what my favorite song is? This Little Light of Mine. Okay? I have to let it shine. I have to let it go. It has to be out there. People have to see it. It has to be everywhere. So folks say, how do you let your light shine? I said, there's not a day go by I don't thank the Lord. I tell people, take care and God bless. I'm going to bless you in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
With everything I do, I have business. It's on my website, okay? The very first page says my favorite quote, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every page of that website has a scripture. Why? Because when you come to that website, I want you to know the minute you click on home and you arrive, that's a child of God. Watch what you say to me, because that's a child of God. And I like the folks all the time, I'm going to tell my daddy on you.
Amen. Speaking of your website, Gazelle, what is your website? Give us your website. I was just at one of your websites reading a snippet of your book, and I tell you, if you thought the testimony was good, my God, this book, just the little piece I was reading, I haven't read the book. I'm going to get a copy of the book because I need to read this book. And I'm looking forward to reading it, but just a little bit that I, and I want to get some copies for the church also, but the little piece that I was reading, my God, you know, there's an anointing on this book. If you were blessed by Gazelle's testimony, you want to buy the book. I am highlighting this woman of God. I will be highlighting women until God says stop. Because I need to, and Lalisa, I need to highlight you, Minister Lalisa, Pastor Varian, I need to highlight you. My schedule is filling up quickly. I need to get you both on the schedule. Listen, I'm highlighting women who are making a difference in the kingdom. It's not about them. It's about what God wants to do through their testimonies, through the ministry that he has given them to do, through the books and the products that they are putting, that God has allowed them to manifest, to put out there. Listen, we all have something in us. God has put something in us that's going to make a difference in the lives of other people. God has put something on the inside of all of us, all of his women, all of his men, sons, and daughters. that's going to make a difference in the lives of other people. So I wanted Gazelle to give us her website for the book so that you could go over and get a copy of the book. Gazelle is also a virtual assistant. The business that she started is the business of being a virtual assistant. She is my virtual assistant. I just retained her to help me with my next book. She's helping me to transcribe our book on marriage, and she's also going to be doing some editing for me. She's a woman of rare quality, a woman of excellence, a woman of integrity, a woman of, she has a spirit of excellence on her life. Listen, she's going to give us her website. Write down her website. Go and visit her website. Get a copy of That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. Amen. Because what are your websites? Let us know where we can find you on the internet.
Well, I set up a website specifically for my book, okay? And I use the wonderful little sites by Google. So the website is https://sites, S-I-T-E-S, .google.com/site, S-I-T-E, /Gazelle Simmons. And I'll spell the name G-A-Z-E-L-L-E. Last name is Simmons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S. It's all one word. If you can't find that, Google Gazelle Simmons.
That's good.
It all pops up. Everything pops up. There's also a link to the novel on my admin website. The administrative website is www.admnsrbcs.com. That's admin services, no I's, no E's. You can follow the link on the About Us page. There's a link to purchase the book. So I tell everyone, I said, I linked it all the best I could with the knowledge that I've been given. I put the preview up literally just to give somebody some idea of, you know, the contents of the book, the style it was written. Everyone was like, what is the book about? I said, honey, if I tell you what the book's about, I could be here all day. And as you can tell, it's taken me more than an hour to break down just some of the stuff that goes on through this book. I tell everyone it's a journey, and when you get to the end of the journey and you're standing there, you know God brought this girl through. My girlfriend used to tell me all the time, girl, you've been through. I was like, yes, honey, I've been through. Okay, but what I can say is on the other end of the through is a hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
Get my hallelujah on. Got to get my thank you, Lord, okay? When things go wrong, I told my daughter Thursday, I said, I don't know why this phone's been off all week. Well, I got some news in the mail, and my first instinct was to fall back on the flesh and go on up in there and act a fool. And then,
amen.
Remember, my phone was off, and I said, thank you, Lord. That's why the phone is off, because you knew. You knew this was coming, and you knew the first thing the devil was going to pop into my head. All right, Lord, I hear you. I'm cool with it. The phone is off, and it'll be off till it's back on.
Yeah.
Everyone says, how do you get a peace with that? Isn't that inconvenient? I said, God never gives us more than we can bear, including no phone the week before you're moving.
Oh, my God.
And in the no phone, I still worked for my clients. I went somewhere else, logged into my account, and still did work. Saved files to a flash drive, took it to the computer, plugged it in, and sent out my emails, still talked parent. And everyone said, well, hold up. You don't have any internet at your office. You don't have a phone at your office, but you're still working. I said, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Amen.
You're amazing. Absolutely. Your faith is amazing. You know, absolutely amazing, because most of us would have been screaming and shouting and, you know, just pulling out our hair saying, you know, why is all of this happening? You know, but to say that, in other words, just keep going. Just keep moving forward and give it to God, because God will never put more on us than we can handle.
No. I had a friend post Psalms 91 on the website. The Christian Women United in Business has a Facebook page. And one of our young ladies, her entire makeup, her sole duty is encouraging people. And she posted this, and I read this. And as I was reading this, tears came to my eyes, and I was just, like, overwhelmed, because in the midst of, all right, Lord, how am I supposed to make it work? I got yet another reminder that God is working. And he says in Psalms 91, because she loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue her. I will protect her, for she acknowledges my name. She will call upon me, and I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her. With long life will I satisfy her and show her my salvation. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I was so moved, even with I printed it and stuck it on the wall. I'm supposed to be taking stuff down off the wall, but I put that stuff there.
Come on now.
And every morning, read it. I'm like, you know what? I need to focus on the God, not on the circumstances. Stop looking around. Stop doing a Peter number. Stop looking around and look at the person who called me out the boat. He said, you could put the rest of them folks on the boat, but I done called you out here. Keep looking at me. I'm like, okay. Every time I start going down, water starts bubbling up around my nose. Usually by the time it gets to my nose, I'm like, all right, Lord, you know what? I done forgot again, haven't I? I got to stop looking around and start looking up.
Jesus.
On my source. You are the reason that I'm still here. You've given me this testimony. You've given me this experience. You've blessed me with these gifts to bless others, not just to make me rich. I didn't put this book out there because I was going to end up on Oprah. I put this book out here because God put it in my spirit and it had to go. It wasn't written for me. It helped me, but it wasn't written for me. It was for the people to read it to see that there is a brighter day coming. And as my grandmother used to say to me when I was a little child, this too shall pass. I never understood why she'd say that. She'd sit down in the middle of something and go, this too shall pass. It's not going to always be this way. It's going to get better. There's a purpose. There's another day coming. Things will not stay like this. And in this, I need to remember, this is just a season. It's not always going to be hot. We got summer all year round. This is just a season. My fall's coming. My winter's coming. And when the winter gets bleak, my spring's coming. Remember, I'm in a season. Okay? When one season ends, another begins. But if I'm so caught up in the season that passed, I'm going to miss the new season.
Amen.
Wow. Or if I'm so caught up in the season that I'm in, my God, I'm going to miss the new season. My God. You know, I'm hearing, I think about a scripture that I read recently, we believe, therefore we have spoken. Do you ever find yourself speaking words that don't contain faith?
Oh, yes. Everyone does.
Come on now.
Yes. Because those of us who are still flawed, who are still living in this body of flesh, it's going to be days things don't go right. Okay?
Come on.
It's going to be days when it seems like, why did I get up this morning? And I have to remember, God got me up this morning when so many others didn't for a purpose.
Jesus. Yeah.
When I get discouraged, I have to remember. See, normally on my wall, there are scriptures over the desk I sit at. And all the way running along this wall where I look at, when you walk in the room, the first thing you see is the scriptures that are normally pinned up here on my wall. The first scripture that spoke to me are blessed are those who believe and have not seen. It came out of John. The very last verse. Thomas did not believe, and he said, my Bible says I'm blessed because I believe what I haven't seen.
Come on now.
In that knowledge, which
hallelujah,
keep them in front of my head. And when I get discouraged, I go to God, okay, and I talk to God. And my children be looking at me like, Mama, there she go again. I'm like, Lord, I don't need this. I don't need this.
Come on now.
Lord, you see what's going on here. You see, I like to tell all the time, Lord, you see these fools. What am I supposed to do with this?
Come on now.
Okay? And I never knew you could talk to God like this, but I watched a movie. And in this movie, this person spoke to God as if he was walking next to him. Some far distance off. Not some, you know, someone I have to petition and wait for my prayer to get in line and get answered and get an answer back.
Jesus.
And those are, when you get discouraged, you have to remember, whose child are you? Okay? Mm. I could be Calvin and Paula's child at the drop of a dime. Okay? Don't let nobody fool you. All right? Like my pastor used to say, I ain't that saved. Okay? When the devil will try to provoke all that to come back, and then I have to remember, that's not whose child I am. Mm. Above and beyond them, I am God's child.
Yes.
Okay? When I start to doubt, when I start to question, when I start to wonder, when I think to myself, all right, Lord, it ain't here yet. Okay? Lord, I'll have a husband. Everybody else got a husband. Here come Valentine's Day. Here come my birthday. Here come Christmas. Get another one. I ain't got no man. Everybody else got a man. Where my man at, Lord?
Come
you
on.
Know what I have to remember? He created.
What's that?
He made Adam. Did he drop Eve on him right away? No. He gave him some work to do, sent him about a purpose before he sent him his wife.
Come on.
Here I was going, all right, Lord, I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. And then I had to remember, it's not my time. I'm impatient. I'm imperfect. If I run out there and grab the first man that crosses my path, I'm just inviting more trouble. And I guarantee you, we'll send the prettiest one you ever want to see, okay? But I have to remember, my Bible says those who wait upon the Lord, there's no time frame there.
Yes.
Don't say wait a day. It don't say wait a week. It don't say wait a month. It says wait on the Lord.
Yes.
Where I sit, waiting on God. And my prayer every morning is continue to make this Ruth, continue to make this Ruth worthy of the Boaz you are sending.
Well, I want to make sure I get my invitation to your wedding.
Yes, darling.
Because I know it's coming.
So I tell everyone, I'm waiting for God's time. I've learned. He showed me. He allowed me to fall and bump my head so I could realize my time don't work. There was a lesson in it. Okay? And my lesson is to tell other people, your time don't work, honey. You better wait on God. Okay, I met a young lady, 26 years old. She told me, I'm waiting on God's man, but I'm tired of waiting. You know what I told her? Wait on, sweetie. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fool who rushed out there. Don't rush. Wait on God. Why? And in that moment, I knew there was a reason I ran into all these people and all this chaos and all this headache. So I could stand in front of this girl and say that I know, that I know, that I know, baby, continue to wait. Continue to wait. I know it's been long. I know it's hard waiting out here, okay? I know it's hard watching these other folks have the life you want, but wait on God.
Yes, yes.
And when I sit, I tell people all the time, I go to sleep by myself, I wake up by myself. There's nobody on the other side of that bed, but I bought a queen-size bed with the other side waiting on the person that's coming.
My goodness.
I've told my daughter, I said, you know what, when the time comes, I will date again, okay? When the time comes, the right person will be. My God is capable, okay? He is able and fully capable of doing what needs to be done. So at the right time, he will send the right person to the right place to walk up to me and go, God sent me to you. That's not hard. He spun the universe, okay?
Come on.
I think he can't arrange for two of his children to come to one spot at the same time. You underestimate God.
Come on.
All powerful.
Jesus.
All powerful.
Mm.
And you have to believe that he's going to answer your prayers.
My God. I tell you, that is just so powerful. Your faith, you know, and that's a testimony. The title of the book, I'm talking with Gazelle Simmons, who is the author of That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. And if you just tuned in, go back and listen to the archives, because this woman of God has, this minister of the gospel, and I know she's not of walking around with any titles, but this woman has ministered to our souls on today. And the words that are coming out of her mouth are anointed because they are filled with faith in our God, not Buddha, not Allah, not any of those other gods, but false gods, but our God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Father, who art in heaven, the Holy Spirit, my God, who moves at the command of our God, and he operates in our lives. I mean, she has just spoken so many faiths. I'm going to treasure this broadcast. I'm going to go back and listen to it myself because you have spoken so many faith-filled words, and I know that everybody that has listened has been encouraged. Pastor Varys, I just feel that the Lord is, I sense that the Lord is just really speaking some things to your spirit, you know, and God is encouraging you on today. I sense that there has been much opposition against the ministry that the Lord has given you. You know, I see you walking down that path, that narrow path, and it's like people, obstacles, it's like the walls are closing in, and people yeah. and things are trying to box you in. You know, but I see you pressing. I see you pressing. I see you not with your hands pressing against the wall, but with your hands
yeah.
raised up to heaven, amen, in total surrender. And, you know, just I see you in today, even as I sit here, I see rays of sunshine coming
yes.
up around you. And I see drops of water hitting you, and they're golden drops of water. And they are bringing life to you. There's some areas in your life that many would have considered to be dead, but I see that God has spoken life through this testimony on today. I see that God has spoken some life to some dead situations in your life,
yes.
amen, and that you're
yes.
being, you've been encouraged, you've been reinvigorated,
yes.
you've been filled with more power, amen, and I just thank God. God showed me, he started showing me visions on this week, and I don't reject them. I'm receiving and declaring prophetically what
yes.
God is showing me, because he was using me to prophesy, but now he's showing me stuff, and I'm like, God, that is awesome. What I see around you, I just see sunshine, Pastor Varian.
Yes.
You know, I just see sunshine, my God. Amen.
Yes.
And, you know, to God be the glory. And Giselle,
yes.
you know, I see pathways that you're walking down the path, and as you're walking down the path, you know, on the side of the path that you're walking, I see words, and, you know, like sometimes you see those charts and those graphs, and the words are prosperity, the words are provision, I see provision, I see the word spouse, I see godly man written on this path, amen, hallelujah. I see peace, my God, hallelujah. You know, and I even hear birds singing, you know, as you're walking down this path. I see pleasure, my God, hallelujah,
yes.
thank you, Jesus. And promise, those are the words that I see on the path, and that every promise is fulfilled in Christ Jesus for
yes.
your life because of your faith. And, you know, I hear God saying, I hear Jesus saying, I have not seen such great faith in Israel.
Jesus.
I have not seen such great faith in Israel. You know, that scripture, that's the scripture in the Bible. And I know that that's one that the Lord has been speaking to you, and that you are blessed. You are a blessed woman, Giselle, because of your faith. Amen. So I just want to encourage you to continue to walk where you are. I know that there's no turning around for you. I see you moving forward, and as you move forward, you know, there are distractions to try to get you to turn. But with you, I hear you saying there ain't no turning back. There is no turning back for me. I'm moving forward with Jesus. And, you know, just knowing that that is your declaration, I'm encouraged, you know. And I know that many more that are tuning in and that have listened are encouraged to know what God is doing in your life. And what has your title of your book is That Which Does Not Kill Us Makes Us Stronger. And I'm hearing these words, in the Lord.
Amen.
In the Lord. That which does not kill us makes us stronger in the Lord. Because that is the testimony, you know, that God took those words before you were truly walking with him. He was walking with you.
Come on.
My God, he was carrying you through all that stuff that you had to go through. When the devil turned you away from the church by judgment on people. Pastor Varian preaches about against judgment all the time because,
yes,
you know, we know how to be judgmental.
Jesus.
But God has made you stronger in him, and as a result, your testimony has made us stronger. My mama, I know my mother will testify to it because she's listening, and she's a strong woman. Mama says that that's mommy's testimony. If it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger.
Come
you know,
on,
that if it doesn't kill you, it will make you stronger. My mother always said that when I was a kid growing up. And, you know, that book, I'm going to give her a copy of your book. So you'll be getting an order from me for autographed copy for my mother, Mother May Thomas, amen, who is a pillar strength. She's a deacon in our church. She's a pillar strength, you know, in our church. And I just thank God for the testimony of yet another strong woman. We have 4 minutes. Go to Gazelle Simmons' website. Pick up a copy of her book. That which does not kill us makes us stronger. If you want your own business, even if you don't want to be a virtual assistant, you want to read how to be a virtual assistant so you can know how she went from all the stuff that she went through to having her own business, because I'm sure she shares on that. Being a virtual assistant is a good business, amen. It's kept her food on, God has kept food on the table, kept her bills paid, amen. By having her business, it's mobile. You could take this business with you when you move, and when you there's always somebody, especially in this day and time, that will need you if you're a virtual assistant. Her website is sites.google.com/sites/gazelle. That's GAZELLE. Simmons, SIMMONS, and if you have a problem with that, go to Google and Google Gazelle Simmons. That's with a Z, GAZELLE Simmons, SIMMONS. Google this woman of God. You will find more than you're looking for because she is out there. She has a presence on the web. Gazelle, I'm going to give you this last 2 minutes. Maybe you could talk to somebody who's at the end of their rope. They're not saved yet. They need to know Jesus. Whatever the Lord has on your heart, amen. I'm going to give you this last 2 minutes. And Pastor Varian, do you have before Gazelle takes the floor, do you have a closing remark, a final comment?
Praise God. I just want to say that today we have unified in God, and that's why we hear and we feel the spirit and the presence of God. And I just want to encourage whoever is listening to us right now at this day, at this time. It's not by chance. It's not luck. God brought you here, and you need to take heed to what the Lord is saying and know that there will be many days where you got to be like David. And David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Mm. Amen. Thank you for those words. And look forward to hearing more from Pastor Varian, as he will be one of my highlight guests. Well, Gazelle, one more minute. You're on the floor.
Well, as Pastor Varian was speaking, the first thing that popped into my mind is when all else fails, look to Jesus. Someone needs to remember that today.
Amen.
Whenever they listen to this, they're going to hear that. When all else fails, look to Jesus.
Amen.
People think they can speak in their own spirit. It's not man. It's God. If you don't believe it's God, I tell everyone, I say, even the Lord says you can test God. I've gotten words, and I'm like, all right, Lord, I know, I think this is you. Confirm this for me. And people I don't know will walk up and confirm what I have been hearing completely on their own. And I tell everyone, I say, when you understand that God moves in mysterious ways. You're not meant to understand. You're just meant to believe.
Jesus.
No matter what, no matter what it sounds like, just believe.
Amen.
To get in contact with me, they can email me. My email address is gazelle.simmons@gmail.com. Type it in, load it up, send me an email. I'm constantly talking to people, telling them, you know, this is what you're looking for, this is what you need, this is where you can go. If I can't help you, I'll help you find someone who can.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Gazelle, for being my guest on today. And I just really appreciate you. So thank you for being with me on today.
You're very welcome. And thank you for having me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this is Pastor Rebecca. We're going to go close everything out with encourage yourself. God bless you. And tune in next week where we'll be talking about health and fitness. Is your body really is the temple of God. So right now we're just going to hear a little bit of encourage yourself. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.